China has become factory of the world, whether it is AI or this. US is the consumer market and innovation hub of the world. What are we? China exported products, US exported services. Can we export talent? If what we have done well is actually compounded on our software strength to build some of these products also, UPI and this and that, how do we take that to scale with this AI thing? But for the world, Urban Company was very clear to me is going to be a bumper IPO because they were their last round pricing, they never let it get out of control. So I think the next phase of IPOs is your profitability repeatable? Are you going to be meeting your plans? Do we believe these plans? And therefore now in that, where is your profitability? And I would argue for us to guide people, both as investors and as ecosystem, predictability. So it's almost four P's of IPO. There is no fear about India's growth, but there's greed about India's growth.
What do we do as old economy businesses in some way, Avi? Like, is there an AI-first version of a Bombay Shaving Company or a Mosaic Wellness, do you see? Like, or are you overthinking this? Hey everyone, welcome to episode 47 of the Asymmetric Podcast. For those who are wondering where did episode 45 and 46 go, we will get them out in the next few weeks. This is a very special one with Avnish Bajaj, founder and managing partner at Z47. At least me and Chirag both have the privilege of having Avnish and Z47 as an investor and Avnish on the board. So it's going to be an interesting one. Shantanu has already pointed out while we have recorded this that this is, I think, the only episode where I would have spoken the least. It is not about the fact that I have a board member on the podcast. It's more about that I was completely out of depth on the topics that were being covered, especially with AI. So I was more a listener than a speaker this time. But nevertheless, I think Urban Company, great IPO. Everybody's super excited to see how that has gone in. And we discussed that as well as the recent learnings from both China and US and what can India learn over the last 20 years of what both these countries have done. What are they doing today? What are the entrepreneurs in these countries doing today? What is the venture capital ecosystem in these countries looking like? And what should we be doing over the next decade or so to make sure that we capture this amazing opportunity of inflection into greed? A little bit of consulting 2x2 that's also been covered today. Please stay tuned.
Shantanu, Lenskart ka, this is not a quiz, so I'll give you the number. FY25 ka PAT tha 250. 250, correct. What is the best you think it'll do in FY28 of which it will get priced?
6,000 crore ka top line, na? 6,500 crore ka top line, I think. 6,500 crores is a top line.
20-22% growth rate.
So 10-11,000 crore ka top line hoga. By FY28, 12,000. I would say if I were Piyush, I would aim for a 2,000 crore, between 1,500 to 2,000 crore PAT.
That's what people must be believing then.
Yeah.
So we think it will be a 1,000 crore PAT because scaling PAT so much is not possible in my view.
What I realized, Urban Company ka thoda mereko yehi Abhiraj se baat ho rahi thi, ki when you get this tax credit interest as profit, yeah, which is kind of balloons up from 25-30 to 200, na, then you, wo, that nuance I think public investor won't get. And then now you are held to a baseline which you cannot, is not sustainable. So, agle saal tu 1200 aur 250 hai tera. Agle saal tu 1500 karega, 150 mein gir gaya, to then it's a problem, even though that 150 is like
30-100. People have realized that, nahin, yeah, the deferred tax credit thing is very clear. I think he's given guidance. Na. We did that also. Urban Company, what do you think FY28 that would be? Shantanu?
Yaar, mere hisab se, if native grows the way it is growing, that's the delta creator there. So they've already got it into making in Noida and all, no? With Zetwork and all. So if they start doing some of the stuff there, then I think Urban Company also can go from 1200. So let's say 2500, 3000. PAT could be 400, 450. Usse zyada kitna will be difficult.
400 crore PAT pe.
I don't know. What did you
guys think?
50. We thought 550-600, and if you give a 30-40 multiple there, then you can see why it has popped.
550-600 is a lot, yaar.
Ye jo Insta ads wala jo hai na, then try to win market share and scale top line and increase the frequency of the app usage, which is today, let's say, quarterly 3-4 times, will essentially become monthly 3-4 times, which increases frequency and increases then the cross-sell to the other services also. which effectively then gives them a stronger moat. So near term, there will be some maybe margin dip, and I think they covered that in the DRHP, ki we will lose money in the Insta services play. But I think it will just become a stronger company because of that. I think I can see the excitement in the management ki yaar, finally ek naya vector mil gaya grow karne ke liye. Because otherwise the growth was quite tepid. Yeah. Because they always were creating TAM. It was always a limited TAM company, right? Wo TAM bana rahe the. So now wo TAM expansion mein ek bahut achha wedge mil gaya unko.
Kernel showed that they were profitable and then very clearly that they were reinvesting profitability for this, but then it is hyper growth and growth has taken over. Swiggy ka ye problem tha ki hamesha loss making.
Yeah, yeah. But I like this framework. FY28 PAT, Shantanu, uspe 40 guna. So, your 100 crore to is saal hi hai na, ya agle saal hai?
Nahi, nahi, 40 guna aap log bolte ho. Main ye bhi dekhta hu, kitna PAT multiply ho raha hai, because then that is two levels of risk. A multiple, a growth risk and a multiple risk. And that growth risk generally has a margin expansion risk. So it's a question is how many risks are you going to take? Urban company was very clear to me is going to be a bumper IPO because they were their last round pricing, they never let it get out of control. So they tried, they were ready to go public at 1.3. They went public at 1.7, right? So
but the last one was 2.1, no?
Unka yeah, reprice ho gaya hoga, but last. They had one unicorn round, no crazy round after
that. They were employee buybacks at 2 billion and stuff like that, but it was not very large. It was not material. The 2021, there was one round that happened at some 2 billion valuation, but that was the 2021 era, and it was not a large amount of money. I think the good part is they've never burned significant capital. They've always been very frugal about raising and frugal about spending that money.
Yeah.
On the other, Abhi, what do you think about, for example, MobiKwik had that one quarter where they posted profit, they listed the company, next quarter was loss. Now, yesterday, I don't know, I saw in the paper today, some 40, 45 crores of money was siphoned out of the accounts, yeah. In a public company, this can become like very dangerous. Like this, these are like the Maggie moment where the business can actually cease to exist or the regulator can come in and actually, you know, if you're a public
company, yeah, there's a lot bahut jaga hota hai na. So, first of all, what do I think of MobiKwik? In fact, I hold it as an example of something that is good for the ecosystem. They tried to go public in 21, 22, I think, but they missed the cycle.
Yeah.
They got stuck in SEBI. If you notice, September last year through Feb, March, a correction was underway. The SIP net additions turned negative for 1 or 2 months. Mutual fund, and I may get the numbers wrong, but direction is correct. So, mutual fund inflows never dip below 25,000 crores per month. That's $3 billion of equity company, right? So, what is happening is, all these guys are sitting on tons of capital. From the large cap guys to the small mid cap. Large cap guys do not get to play digital and tech because that's where the growth is. But they get very little exposure, which is why now Eternal has crossed the market cap of Tata. Is that because once it comes into Nifty, all the index funds have to come in. So that universe slowly will all start tapping with all our companies, especially your companies. When you have the mid and small cap, a mid and small cap generally kis type of companies milti hai? Half the time, if you look at any guy who's TMS guy or mutual fund less because they don't pitch to us, but always, what will they say? False criteria, corporate governance. At least, yes, there were some fraud situations which were unfortunate and I think, par for course in any growing industry. In general, the corporate governance of digital companies is very good. Compared to what I'm saying, don't look at MIS recruiting, but promoters fraud hote hai na.
Yeah.
Second, higher growth. Third, lot of the India mein bolte the sunrise industry. Pharma was a sunrise industry. At one point, IT services was a sunrise industry. So on and so forth. Various, at one point, green energy companies were, infra was. These are sunrise industries. They are looking for these plays. So what happens is, the small and mid-cap guys also need plays. A MobiKwik is a great play for a small mid-cap. Right. So I am very happy
if companies go public even at 4,000-6,000 crore market cap and grow into becoming very large companies later. But what are the boundary conditions? Boundary conditions are should not have raised a lot of money, because otherwise most investors will be underwater. Second, should have predictability, which we all know. But third is profitability. So if you look at the life cycle of how new age IPOs have played out in India, I would say V1 is Zomato opened the market. Credit to Dipinder. Nykaa came in also on the back of that. And I would say high quality IPOs, but really missed their plans. Zomato did initially, Nykaa was up and down. So the public market investors said, interesting, but these founders don't stick to what they tell us. V2, somewhere V1 to V2, on the back of it, Paytm came out. And there was a, I think Nykaa and Paytm would be in the same bucket, very high price items, right? So big, big hill. So that was V2. On the back of some of this, I would say some substandard IPOs also came out. Okay, now in one of the ones which has really performed well, which I wouldn't call substandard, is great now, is Cartwheel. There were a bunch of such IPOs which were happening. Then the public market investor said, "Bahut ho gaya. These guys are basically playing us. They have told people like us, but you guys are playing us. You guys are selling us all of this bill of goods at very high prices, and it is not, performance is not sustaining. We are done." Then there was a lull. And in that lull, some very good companies came out. Ixigo came out. PBO came out. Real small cap IPOs profitable. So learning on plans in phase one, learning on pricing in phase two, learning on profitability in phase three. So I think the next phase of IPOs, the market is going to be very, very discerning on all three. Is your profitability repeatable? Are you going to be meeting your plans? Do we believe these plans? And therefore, now in that, where is your profitability? And I would argue for us to guide people, both as investors and as ecosystem, predictability. So it's almost four P's of IPOs. I think Urban Company is on four P's.
But without compromising on growth, I think the one thing that they're still looking for is continued growth with these four guardrails also, right? So you cannot say that growth, like if growth does not happen, even if you're, let's say, you hit guidance, you are profitable, you are predictable, but your growth rate compared to when you were private has now suddenly become a lot more plateaued, I think the interest will still go down. I think even Revan, in one of our episodes also, you hear from mutual fund investors also, because growth, like people underestimate how much risk appetite public market investors actually has. But we have that risk appetite because we are underwriting growth. The moment growth goes away, then our views change drastically.
So it's a mix. It's a nuanced view. What in your definition of growth, how much growth?
Growth without further dilution. For at least what we ran in that episode, 3x of India growth, like 20-25% is good.
Yeah,
exactly. No, so nominal growth to actually 10-12%. My view is they will say 20-25% predictable growth with profits is great. If you're going to give us 40-50%, but your profits are going to fluctuate, they will pick the former. But again, there is so much money that is coming in. Har cheez ke liye ek product banne wala hai. Ek product banega jo ye bhi risk lega. A product will say growth at reasonable prices. You know, there's this, I don't know if you've heard of this lady, forget her name, Cathie Wood, ARK invest karte hai US. She's a full swing for the fences. So her portfolio is also very high on volatility.
High alpha, high beta.
Very high beta. And she sells it. She's like, I'll catch all the outliers. Her claim to fame was getting into Tesla, I think, very early. And calling it a $1 trillion company when it was like $80-100 billion, right? So you're right, but I would say usme Shantanu, mera to ye view hai ki zyada agar aap profitable, agar aap dekho turnaround even in Ola Electric, actually the growth is down year over year. It is a progress towards profitability that demanded the stock.
Now, I have a question on this, Avi. I have yet to see a new age IPO, which is a Me Too. So, every company that has gone public is a very unique business model. And in some ways, is it fair to say that the mutual fund or the institutional investor appetite is so high because there, and of course, Zomato and Swiggy are examples of maybe, but again, it's a duopoly, right? There's no other player as such. So, but in the case of something like a consumer brand, like Honasa is public, HealthCart will go public, let's say 7-8, Shantanu will go public. I keep thinking that if someone goes public 5 years later and there are 8 other consumer brands going at 30% and profitable, wouldn't the excess of supply of companies actually by design then reduce the valuation premiums that today tech or VC-backed startups are getting? I have a view on that.
Absolutely. So, I have a little bit of a contra thought on that, but actually the way I think of it, Revant, is category creators and category leaders always get a premium. Okay? So that will never change. And that is a permanent. Now it depends on a sector. If in very interesting sectors, the number of companies that may get very good valuations will be 5, 6, 7. And they will all, even when we analyze FMCG and we look at, you know, even HUL versus other listed companies, Nestle, it is that the then market starts going to the next level of saying, ROSI kitna hai, ROI kitna hai, growth kitna hai, kis segment pe leader hai. But yes, at a broader point, category creators get a premium, but I'll give you one contra I heard. We were talking to one of the investors, potential investors, about SaaS. So I was explaining SaaS, net revenue retention. When he asked me, "Yeh value kaise hota?" So I was telling him, "Dekho, 30-40% growth hai. NRR is above 100-110%. To 8 to 10 times. He said, 8 to 10 times to EBITDA to kaafi kam hai. I said, "Nahi sir, 8 to 10 times revenue." So he said, "Yeh yaani chalega." So I said, "But what? I mean, what is the problem?" He said, "Profitable agony." I said, "They'll all be sick 12 to 18 months from profitability when they come to them." So he had very good advice. He said, "Look, everything you are saying sounds like great, but nobody else will understand. We will compare it to IT services. A lot of education will be required. Even so, one of the things you guys should do is don't let us Zomato. We can touch and feel. We can diligence very easy. These kind of businesses, it's very hard for us to do it. I mean, we go talk to customers and all, but you are saying they are not like IT services where I can go and talk, sit in like 5 customers. So he said, bring, Revant, to your point, 4-5 company ko saath mein leke market mein. They'll get
that. For a category creation company. So let's say a new category is getting listed. What bad category you're saying?
No, but it's about, so Zomato was also new category getting listed and SaaS is also new category getting listed in some ways in the market.
I do think that, for example, I agree with Avnish. I think a category specific yoga was my nuance. For example, when Asian and the paints industry was having its moment, right? When average time to repaint a house was going from 8 years to 4 years, Asian paint stock was rallying without really any change in penetration, number of stores, queues, etc. was a barmewa. But because of just frequency of repainting, that industry went big and Indigo Paints ka IPO happened in that time only. So a challenger brand in a market where there are clear macro tailwinds, again, people will like, yeah, what you are saying, allocation ka issue hai, so I'll look for the next, like Birla Opus, for example, is having its moment now. I think, though timing founders have to figure out, and maybe, I don't know whether you can time it or not, but the ability to time it when the company is doing well and the industry is doing well, for most startups, I think, or at least younger companies, will probably be challenger. Bahut kam log creators honge, I think.
Pricing perspective, I think one of the things that I really think Abhijit does not perfectly well is there is no seller. Like,
yeah.
Usually when VC-backed companies go IPO, everyone knows that there will be a line of sellers in 6 to 12 months once a lock-in expires. Yeah, seller hi nahi hai. That is my other view as to why it has popped so much, of why the institutions have come in. See, Elevation, it's a new growth fund, but in the end, for a mutual fund also is that ye board pe baitha hai. ये दूसरे फंड से खरीद रहा है
और
मतलब क्लियरली सो कुछ पता है जो लाइक आई कैन हियर द मैनेजमेंट बट द गाय हुज बीन सिटिंग देयर फॉर 10 इयर्स इज सेइंग आई विल अगेन स्टिल बाय इज अ वेरी बियर साइन राइट वीवा इज नॉट सेलिंग प्रोसूस इज नॉट सेलिंग सो लाइक बॉस इफ द 30-40% ऑफ द कैप टेबल से हम बेचेंगे ही नहीं करके, तो क्लियरली घुस जाना चाहिए करके, लाइक दैट परसेप्शन मैनेजमेंट हैज बीन फ्लॉलेसली एग्जीक्यूटेड,
बट ऑल्सो ग्रेट एग्जीक्यूशन, राइट?
I'm not saying execution is not great, company is not great, management is not great. I mean, I have an invite to the party, so I'm going to go and do my peripona. But I'm just saying that there is always, I really like what you said, right? That because large, like a SBI mutual fund, which is the largest mutual fund in the country, got anchor pre-IPO allocation, anchor, unke 60% banenge, up 70%, whatever the day's pop is, and then it will continue to stay at time because there are no sellers. They'll get confidence ki higher up, Dunke IP or I think Grow and Lenskart are lined up in the coming quarter. So those will again be bumper institutional blue chip mutual funds will get allocation because it's a large enough IPO and they'll do well. So I hear your thought, but I think a lot of this is also just to make sure that you don't have a line of sellers who are headed for the exit door. Now, that execution is great, but also constructing the cap table. So we had done this episode with Kashyap at Rainmaker, and that was my learning. Constructing the cap table in such a way that even post IPO for 3 years there are no sellers is a very important thing for a founder CEO to think about.
100%.
So, isme issue size kya hai? Kisne becha hai? I am reading.
Plus, founders didn't sell. But look, just look at all the tick marks. Na matlab ki bhai founder bol rahe ki nahi nahi hum to grow kar rahe hain, hum bhi bech rahe hain. Most of the investors say कि हम नहीं बेच रहे हैं तो भाई बेच तो
लग रहा सब बहुत समय वो जो कि पब्लिक मार्केट इन्वेस्टर्स कीप सेइंग यार हमारे लिए भी कुछ छोड़ दो. आई रिमेम्बर कश्यप एपिसोड सेइंग यार डोंट प्राइस इट टू द फुल, हमारे लिए भी कुछ छोड़ दो. छोड़ दिया तो सबको जो इंटरनल है उनको पता है भाई हम तो नहीं जा रहे.
अरे वो सब छोड़िए, इफ अगेन म्यूचुअल फंड और इवन एम्प्लॉइज पोर्शन वाज 6x ओवरसब्सक्राइब्ड आई थिंक.
या गुड कॉन्फिडेंस.
आई थिंक दिस वन इज इजीयर टू स्पॉट. आई थिंक वी कुड हैव ऑल सेड I think the next episode, whenever it is after Lenskart IPO, you guys should cover. And again, I think the world of Piyush, I think it'd be interesting to see what pricing that goes out of. And I was just reading Grow Ka Bhi, revenue is declined, profit has gone up. So to your point, Shantanu, that could be a very interesting case study to what you were saying. Because people are saying 9 billion pe wo abhi bhi niklega. Even revenue has declined. Because agar revenue decline ho raha to kab tak profit ko chalate rahoge. Right? And revenue has declined because of all the SEBI F&O stuff.
Yeah.
So
a good asset, no still. Like in the end, a very high growth market. Like the market, the folks who are deploying the mutual fund managers, if I'm a money manager, I'm saying mujhe paisa aa raha hai kyunki mereko dikh raha hai ki now India is saying ki bhai paisa lagao market mein. So very clear correlation to knowing that a brokerage house is going to do well. They understand the business. It's almost like tumhe apne job mein confidence nahi hai. Like if
I think the world of the team and Lalit and what they have achieved. But I could have made that argument 2 years ago about Zerodha. And these guys have passed them. So wo jo moats hoti hai na, if I was a public market investor, I would say ki boss, 2 saal pehle tak Zerodha ka market share tha 80-90%. उसके बाद आप आ गए, एंजल वन आ गया, धन आ गया, ये हो गया, तो ये तो मतलब वेयर इज द रियल मोट.
या गुड पॉइंट.
बट आई विल टेल यू ब्रांड इज अ मोट. सो माय ट्रेनर एंड इट वाज एक्चुअली वेरी वेरी गुड टू सी ही वाज ही जस्ट सडनली सेड सर कैन यू हेल्प मी. आई सेड ऑफ कोर्स व्हाट डू यू नो लाइक आई हैव कम इनटू 80 लाख्स बाय सेलिंग समथिंग इन केरला. आई वांट टू पुट इट इन द मार्केट एंड ही हैड डन ऑल हिज रिसर्च एंड दैट. आई एम टेलिंग यू दिस इज टू मी This is when we say na ki digital penetration zyada nahi ja rahi hai, market is thin, GDP per capita. I don't believe in any of them. I believe it's deepening as we speak and it's going everywhere. And he said, I use Windwell. I mean, the only mistake he made was neither of the companies he mentioned were our companies. I corrected that mistake, but he said, I use Windwell. Uske liye maine bola stable money ko use karo. So he said, I use Windwell for bonds. Actually, he knew that the bond market has now started. I use Grow for mutual fund. And he was wanting my advice on overall asset allocation as well as. So this market, I mean, I'm telling this is dead center. This market is 300-400 million, 500 million.
That's a lot of
people. Yeah, yes.
So it is very exciting. So, but the point was, I asked him, why did he pick these? And Grow was because he does research online also. But I think the sobering point there is, 2 years ago, this was all zero. That.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I also feel like what you're saying, right, Amnish, in terms of how private pricing happens basis multiple of revenue. And then a company goes through that, finding profitability, breaks even, then becomes profitable, and then moves towards the company being valued at first 2 years forward EBITDA, to 1 year forward EBITDA, to then a table PE, etc. I think that journey will be one which I think, at least for us, for example, we are going through it, and it opens up a lot of realizations in terms of real value and so on. So I think that's something the ecosystem will definitely learn. I think one clear takeaway for me is that taking the company public early with the right backers might be a good thing, because then you carry the retail investors with you, and there is nothing like, we think of our share as a SKU. And if someone buys an SKU share from us, there should be value for that person to hold on to that also. So
I mean, consumer brands, you absolutely must think like that. And I think when Swiggy was, the WhatsApp forwards were coming to all of us. One, it was a tough market, but I thought they were making a mistake. But I was wrong, because I was told later that that was the strategy. And the strategy was, koi share karega to app bhi use karega, and vice versa. Right? Tesla did this. I mean, Reliance did this all the way back. But Tesla also did this. So I think with consumer brands, in fact, your IPO is also your marketing event.
Yeah.
Right? And it can be very powerful. But as long as the stock goes up, nahi to wo razor bhi, wo aapke products bhi band kar dega aur share bhi bech dega. Which is why you have to grow with the retail investor, right?
Yeah.
Which is what Dhirubhai started by saying, I will make sure even every retail person makes money.
Haircut becomes very literal then.
Hey, great. I think fabulous discussion on, the seminal event that we have experienced today. Kudos to the early investors, growth investors, and obviously the management team at I just messaged Mukund, I'm meeting him in the evening. I'm like, yaar, tata se bana liya karke tune. So they put up, who made how much money? And the ESOP pool was big. And I think the DRHP covers the key management and how much ESOPs they hold. So like, yaar, why do they make this public? I'm like, why? This is the inspiration, right? Like we have covered a episode on ESOP where we said what the top management or CXOs of companies that go public make. And I'm like, achha, ek aur. We've done one with Sandeep and Deserve, Amnish, where we covered ESOPs and, what is a good way to incentivize management teams by founders or CEOs? What is the right sizing of option pool, option allocation, strike price, and stuff like that. And the biggest gap in there was how much money should people make when a company goes public. So again, a $3 billion public company and amazing examples of people who have spent 8 to 10 years and what is the kind of money they have made at that valuation. Just gives a lot of context and clarity as to, how to build out a high performance team. And honestly, that's what Dipinder and Abhiraj and co have done, right? Just built very, very...
Even the resilience. So Revant, I'll tell you, in the middle of COVID, I knew Abhiraj, but in the middle of COVID, we were on a couple of projects that acting was going on. He made me do a Zoom with this, I think it was 75 people or whatever, team. Business was shut, then it boomed. It was going through up and down. I think we were talking in the phase where there was no business. He gave the background of my Bazi speech. And he said, how did you guys survive? How did you do it? And so this people-centric approach even beyond the incentives. I saw that. Because, that's what he did 5 years ago. I think 80% of those people are still wrong. Not because I spoke, but 80%. It's just his approach. Right? And it was, and Mukund, like everybody out there would have probably funded him if he wanted to leave. He just said, IPO ke bina nahi jaao.
It's a very special company. This is a very hard execution with this.
Abhi, you can tell from your example, you know, I'm sure some of these companies would have come to you at the pitch stage, not urban companies specifically. But this model is very difficult to underwrite because people will say, yaar, ye to customer direct contact kar lega, service is very difficult to execute, you're entering into somebody else's home, security issues, all of that in India. And what they have pulled off is like phenomenal. और ये business में at least one less risk के competition तो मुझे लगता बहुत ही दूर है.
Yeah, that's always the key metric. But the point I was trying to make, Avi, is I think a lot of founders / CEOs are people centric. I think the trick that a lot of us miss is how to build a high performance team for all the people centricity that you're showing. And you know, empathy is great. You are trying to figure out, you know, how to make sure that everybody's happy and well incentivized and stuff like that. But if you don't build out a high performance culture, then all of that is moot. Like, I think the balance is something that they have figured out well. So a lot of people used to consider Pinder a little ruthless than what they would have liked. But over time, he's shown that in the end, it, as long as they are playing the wealth game, the team was also aligned. The team that is aligned to that wealth creation game effectively stayed and created that wealth alongside him, right? Yeah. Versus trying to just mollycoddle to the extent that, oh, we should have work-life balance and stuff like that. Like, in the end, that's the kind of professional army that I also see Abhiraj having built out over the last 8 to 10 years. But I think we have a bunch of other things to cover. We were very, very excited to see that, you know, we have some insights from both China and the US. We had an amazing episode on China with Adi. Interestingly, by the way, Avi, I'm not sure you know, till then, nobody in the valley was talking about China. Uske baad, All In Podcast has covered China, Bill Gurley has covered China, so we are hoping that we seem like we are early to the understanding China.
You are causing more impact in the world than your viewership suggests. But I'm sure
trend starter
book that's come out. It's called Breakneck, which is on China. It also came out the last week of August. When did you guys do your episode?
2-3 months back, I think.
10 weeks ago.
So August May, partly because it's holidays also in the US, lots of the so. Let's go to the slide. So our team went to China. Our team was also in the US. This time the team went, and you can see the pictures. They have done a bunch of company meetings. I told them to put the meetings of the products and the companies that put their own pictures, but that's okay. They met founders at, you know, it's these companies that you can see. So let's go to the next one. I do think this, you know, if you look at the last, I think 22 onwards, the China bashing started. And before that, in Trump cost term towards the end, the trade war had started. I think 2 years, maybe 2.5 years until DeepSeek, people had written off China. People were saying, "Yo, DeepSeek was a big wake-up call that, oh shit." But this futuristic, you know, people think khali exports se chala rahe hai. It's basically large scale and futuristic build out of infra. Whether it was highways, whether it was they have 4 times the bullet trains of all the rest of the world combined. It is with AI. So from factory to the world, AI factory. It's almost their industrial policy, one could argue, to do all this build, right? EVs, they have the best in the world. Used to be that people would say China is poor quality but cheap. In EVs, they are the best quality and cheaper. The other piece that people don't realize, China's has so much overcapacity. And again, I may get the numbers wrong, but there, I think 1 trillion gigawatt is already there, out of which half is... it's a lot. Huh? We are, I think, at 500 gigawatt. No, China is, I think, adding 500 gigawatt in the next 2 years, which is our installed capacity. In which clean energy is about, planned to be like 1 trillion, where nuclear, wind, solar, everything. In the US, the power grids failed. I don't know if you guys know this. California power grids would fail in the evenings
when people would all come in and plug their Teslas in, right? Inke paas itni excess power hai. And now people are saying that AI is the most power hungry thing, data centers, this, that, whatever. So their power costs are going down because they are at that phase of payoff where all the capex has been recovered. And of course, a lot of this is state funded, and we'll come to how that works. This is the big hidden moat. People, I don't know if you guys picked up the news today. They said, you cannot buy NVIDIA chips. China said, don't buy NVIDIA chips. They don't give a shit about chips, and we'll come to why, which is the third point. But they don't need the rest of the world's chips, and they have all the free power to power these data centers, and they have, you know, great infrastructure with lots of capacity. They could really emerge as the AI superpower. They could. Now, the US, everybody kind of woke up to it maybe 1-2 years ago, put in all these safeguards, some of which I do think will work, and we'll talk about why. But essentially, you have to say, there are the training chips and the inferencing chips. Training chips is where NVIDIA is way ahead, has a moat with everybody. That's where a lot of the complexity is required. Inferencing mein utna nahi. So where China is behind, because their foundry capacity is capped, and they are bottlenecked by some of the sanctions, is on the training side. But if you look on the application side, if you say, was the first innovation on batteries and EVs done by BYD and CATL and all these companies in China? No. And now Xiaomi, by the way. But are they the best companies today? Yes. I am off the view that something similar may be happening in India. They may not have innovated, but because of all these other advantages and the state taking this as a policy, they may actually come out as number one.
Is it fair to say they know the playbook of mass production of the world, for the world?
Right. Har cheez ke liye,
or last thing, they think global at that scale. Some of that is state funded and stated objective also by the state. And then they go out and execute like for like 10, 20 years. And some people keep saying, like we heard in that podcast, they dream in centuries.
Look at all these sectors. What are the degrees of the people, the graduation degrees or undergrad degrees of the people who run the company in China? And what is it in the US? And what is it in India? They're all engineers. They have essentially been ahead in all the engineering that one is seeing, not in innovation, but in engineering. And that will come to a more macro point. I think, so EVs are number one in the world, but interesting point, companies are still bleeding. There is a cost to all of this build-up. You've heard of ghost cities. You've heard of real estate bubble. You've heard of, but wo chal kaise raha hai? With so much debt, and let's say consumption of that is not happening, where does the state get the money to keep funding you? The strength on the back of exports, obviously, used to be, which is why people are trying to create barriers. And obviously, a very stable currency, which will come to in the context of the US. The other interesting point was that deep tech in China, which is the last point, is all engineers with great experience. Now, I don't know if you guys picked up this stories, but in fact, Suripto of our team was telling me this. And what China did in the 2000s is they funded people go to Stanford, go to MIT, go to all these places. Then they paid them global salaries to come. No, by the way, then they worked at Google's and these PIs and all these places. And so this was a state engineer brain gain. Get them to learn in the best, country in the world when it comes to innovation. That was the gap, and then bring them back to China. So to me, this was a big learning. And let's contrast this next slide with. So we also went to the US. US, I also was there. It was amazing to see the guys. By the way, that when I'm saying a loser, I'm saying that to the guy who's taking the picture, not to the cohort. This is the IC cohort on the right. You can see the companies down there, these are the ones we have also funded. So let's go to the learnings there. So AI buzz is very real. There are many companies. So if you look at, you know, some of the articles that have been coming out, people have said, you know, SaaS used to be get to $1 million of revenue in 18 months. Then maybe 4 million by 3 years. There was used to be basically 3 to 2. Then 2-3 posts came out saying 4 million in 18 months is the new, you know, North Star. But that's for the top quartile of it. We have companies in DVC, you guys will be happy to know, which are for 1 million ARR in JAP, which will do between 6 to 10 million by December. ARR. Okay, so this is real stuff that is happening.
Avish, while you say real, I learned a new term from you when I was wet last time, experimental ARR. How much of this is experimental and like sustainable?
Number 6. So ARR, which is what you are talking about, it's also called phantom revenue. And I think just to explain for people is, you know, ChatGPT today has about 1 billion WAUs. If you are and $10 per month is considered a good price point, which makes a very large TAM available. If earlier it used to be this freemium model where we used to say, if you're getting usage, that means that you have some PMF and then you have to monetize. That is no longer the case. With AI, you can get people immediately to pay you. If you have a good product web, you will get people to pay you $10 a month. Assuming out of 1 billion ChatGPT users, you can get only 1 million with $10 a month. That's a $120 million ARR. It's a $120 million ARR company. Because most of those are experimenting. We must have all experimented with so many products, which we then churn out. So graduation rate. So you can very quickly see this inflection and then it will follow. But that is for consumer type of businesses, Chirag. The ones I'm talking about are...
One is that, okay, that usage doesn't stick. But the second, I think, is also that usage sticks and then the mainstream companies or incumbents are able to make it. Like, for example, we were using Granola and now we have Gemini on Gmail and then the Granola is like out of the window.
Yep, exactly.
Right, so in that way, experimental, I think, has both these nuances.
No, actually, it is largely the latter, Chirag.
Largely the latter.
Because if I have $10, that means I have a lot of value in that feature. So I will close that feature if someone gives that feature free.
And especially at that kind of scale.
Yeah. So that is very much the case, which brings me to another point, which was very interesting. Number 4. Let me ask you guys this. Traditionally, small and medium SME, jo bolte India mein, ya MSME, SaaS businesses were considered terrible businesses. Do you guys agree? The characteristics of those businesses are very high churn, very high CAC. So one of the insights I got on this trip was, that is, what was a bug has become a feature. Small and medium businesses never adopted AI. And this is something, Chirag, may be relevant for what we do also. Small and medium-sized businesses never adopted software and technology because there was a human or a knowledge worker required here to implement it. B, they could afford it. C, they were too small and they couldn't, you know, attract that knowledge worker. Now, we have all seen people talking about the TAM of AI will be, no, the services TAM is larger than software TAM by like 9x, 10x, right? The insight was that the SMB who never actually adopted technology now doesn't need to adopt the technology, just needs to adopt the agent, the AI agent.
Correct.
That, if you think about it, and if it's replacing humans, is very, very sticky. In fact, you won't see churn. So one of the companies that is seeing this 1 to 10 million type of trajectory is a company called Confido in our portfolio. It's it is voice agents for healthcare providers, for OPD, for more like primary care in the US. It's seeing this kind of traction. It's replacing the voice agent, the agents who are answering calls. You still have human in the loop if you need medical advice. Now, in this, Chirag, your question still applies. Will there be enough? Will the horizontal voice agents companies be able to take this over? Our view is in verticals, in complex verticals, it's very hard. Because data becomes a moat.
I think this is sticky.
It should be sticky.
Sticky, and you're right that, at least we have also seen in our business, that enterprise will want to experiment with a lot of AI features. They would not want to believe and do A-B experimentation and then arrive at results. Whereas SMB and long tail would want to, because they're not capable of doing it. Right?
Yeah.
If you give them insight, they'll say, okay, what do I do with it? If you can implement the insight to the solution, then I think it works beautifully for them. And we're seeing good adoption there.
Yeah. Then in the Valley, so Valley has, where is this point? Valley has basically split into two. So point number seven, San Francisco, where the first-time founders are and AI is. South Bay is where experienced founders are and where most VCs are. But all VCs have a satellite office now in San Francisco. To be cool, in my view. Most traditional VCs that you think about, Sandal Road, Silicon Valley, they are, which is the point number three, they are only investing in people like you. So they are only investing in experienced founders, time-tested methods. They don't move far. You know, they take their time. They ignore what is coming out of Y Combinator. The large platforms that you guys hear of, they are doing everything. But they generally don't have any right to play, right to win early with the experienced founders. So the purest VCs will do it. And then the platforms will, in that phase, the platforms will go and invest in 5 companies coming out of Y Combinator or 10 companies or 20 companies, see which one is working and keep investing more. So it's a very, very clearly segmented market, both in geography, in types of founders, and in type where the VCs are playing. Interestingly, going to point number two, most of the people who have seen some success, 30s, early 40s, many of them have seed funds. It's so easy to raise 20, 30, 40 million funds. They generally are very, very deep in some network. Now, some of them have told me that many will struggle to raise the second fund because whatever their right to play, right, that doesn't mean the first fund won't do it. But whatever their right to play, right to win, let's say they were had access in a network that did well in some exit, 4, 5, 6 founders came out and they invested and the fund will do well, they don't have the next set because they have to compete with all these large VC players and platforms. But there'll be one fund and happy. And then we'll keep doing some investment. What else? Y Combinator is back. Point number five. It's back in a big way. Gary Tan has done a great job. Then deep tech is progressing, but nothing compared to China the way we discussed. And I would say because we are all tuned into this. We watch those podcasts. We know Bill Gurley wrote this, that. I think a small set is aware, but otherwise they couldn't care less about China. Like the China is not a topic, right? So deep tech has the deeper tech is there, which will come to the next discussion, which would be interesting. But nobody cares, or India as a market. Indian founders, what was very gratifying actually to see, there is, even with the ABCDs, if you notice the picture that I put out, many of them were 20 to 21, 22, 23, ABCD, never been to India. Some have been to India a few times. When I was in the US, I used to find that many of this younger set was very disconnected from India. This set, many of them may be physically disconnected, but they have a desire to be connected. It was very good to see. It was very good to see that even for the older set, the ones who have moved from here many years ago, there's a lot of patriotism that is back. There's a lot of national pride that is back. They want to do something for the country and with the country. For the younger one, then there is a set in between that moved recently. That's much more easy. They have India as core part of their playbook, whether on the supply side or on the demand side. the fact that Indian developers are number two on GitHub, the fact that India is the second largest market for ChatGPT already in users, has registered for people. So I met the founder. You guys know, I don't know if you know that the product I use called Whisperflow that I just love. So I met that founder also. He has only 8 to 9% users from India because he hasn't launched Android yet. The Android is coming out. We are actually, you know, chatting with him and helping him market it also. He's expecting it to go to 30%. And what used to be before, that India on the demand side used to be irrelevant, is now that India is very relevant. Monetization may be a little bit lower. It may be more the free products that I use. But it gives them because all products are being used, we also have an iPhone base and an Android base, it gives them the crucible to experiment. So you may actually see, historically, India used to be the last place to get features. Going forward, India may be the first place to get features because people are experimenting fast. So demand side was very interesting to see. Supply side, we have the top decile Android, English-speaking Android developers in the world. Maybe top quartile English-speaking iPhone developers in the world. Maybe above average AI developers in the world. But overall developer base is strong. And it's very quickly ramping up, right? And it's much cheaper. So very interesting, both these experiences. But I'll tell you that we were out as a team. And two of our colleagues, you know, Sudipto and Siri, they basically said, so we have seen the US engine and we have seen the China engine. Hamara kya hoega? And what is India's path forward? China has become, what did you use? Or maybe Chirag, you or Shantanu said, factory of the world, whether it is old world or new world, AI or this. US is the consumer market and innovation hub of the world. What are we? Tariffs, the China plus one story also went up. So after being depressed for about 2 weeks, I've done some thinking and I want to discuss. But let us talk about.
I actually think hum ek cheez bhool rahe abhi ki I don't think we give enough credit to our government for also thinking exactly like China. See, what was the advantage that China had, which is a young population and let's say 500 million workforce. Usko, the good part is they got that into manufacturing. And by the way, even that was serendipity. I hope people don't get offended hearing this, but everything is serendipity in life. You hindsight mein lagta hai ki achha haan, kya dimaag lagaya factory of the world ban gaye, but in the end, Apple going to China or US saying that boss, hame low cost labor chahiye, aap banao, was a very, very key inflection point for them also to say ki theek hai, chalo workforce lagate, ye karenge karke. What came naturally to us was also same ki we have a large workforce, we need to have very low cost of services or product. Now what came to us easier was services because we were already exporting IT services. So a UPI thought process, right, or Aadhaar are all examples of us also thinking at scale, and we have enabled that at scale. I think what we have got a little late to is manufacturing. But I see the signs already with the BIS standards, the PLIs and everything. I think it's a 15-year journey for us to also get very good at high-tech manufacturing. See, we'll always be behind because we're 20 years behind. Both inflection toh lagta hi. And the biggest revelation for everyone was the chart that Adi showed ki you should not compare India and China because we got liberalized 15 years later. We will always be 15 years behind. So in that sense, I think the moves are the right ones. We can exactly follow the same story. The question is, are we taking the right punts? We didn't take the right punt, or maybe we could have taken the manufacturing punt 15 years back as well. Maybe we missed that. But I think it's not as bad. I think we're just... वो होता है ना इंस्टाग्राम पे देख के आपको लगता है कि सब अमीर है सब कोल्ड प्ले जा रहे हैं मैं यहाँ बैठा हूँ करके वो सिचुएशन हो रहा है थोड़ा सा इट्स अ क्वेश्चन ऑफ जस्ट बीइंग कॉन्फिडेंट ऑन द फैक्ट दैट वी आर लर्निंग फ्रॉम व्हाट हैज हैपेंड एंड वी आर इम्प्लीमेंटिंग इट इट्स जस्ट दैट इनफैक्ट आई यूज योर लाइन राइट लाइक आई वॉज द बिगेस्ट बेयर आई थिंक इन 2024 एंड यू केप टेलिंग मी कि रेवन तू अंदर है इसलिए तुम्हें समझ में नहीं आ रहा है कि बुलेट ट्रेन कितनी फास्ट जा रही है करके वो अब तो मैं बहुत ही कॉन्फिडेंट हो गया हूँ कि आई थिंक इवन दैट द लेटेस्ट जीएसटी रिफॉर्म्स
आई जंप इज टू ऑलवेज डू द ऑपोजिट ऑफ व्हाट यू आर सेइंग There is a lot of threads to what any, I'll let Shantanu and Chirag add, but there are a lot of threads to what you have said that I have also tried to put together. And I think you're largely right. But ek do badi bets abhi leni chahiye, which we can talk about.
But I think he's right when he says, no, serendipity. I am seeing that, you know, I think China has truly been 15 years ahead when, you know, we were discussing during that episode also. Say, India, mein dekh raha hoon, naturally brands are evolving to cross-border.
Yeah.
So, wo evolution ho raha hai. Give us 15 years, we will learn all the tricks of the trade. Like, for example, what we have done deeply on WhatsApp commerce, we are able to implement in different countries. So, yeah. It's just natural advantage, not that we have done some rocket science.
I think usme ye jo what we used to say, democracy versus dictatorship or whatever, the reality is those guys could think 15, 20 years in advance. They couldn't. When the governments have had the confidence lately, think like that. And for all of us, I mean, we changed our brand name, right? Because 1 year ago, suddenly we started hearing developed countries. So I'll tell you one thing, Reva. My view, you are right, the moment of serendipity. So I went and did some research. So here's the question. Countries fall into middle income traps. We are going through a middle income journey, right? Why will we be able to get out? China joined the WTO. You know, by the way, our GDP per capita, China and India was similar in 80, right? And then 90 also, they weren't very far ahead, but you're right, it compounded with time. China joined WTO in 2001. That changed everything. Maybe you're right that they then discovered chicken and egg is unclear. They essentially became the factory. So countries normally, how many years did it take the US to become rich? It took about 100 years. For the EU to become rich, probably 100 years for Japan and Southeast Asia, and obviously smaller. Rich also, it depends on how you define, right? If it's per capita, it's different. Aggregate GDP. So it does take 30, 40, 50, 60 years. China bent the curve, right place, right time, factory to the world. Keep earning Forex, keep putting it in infrastructure. I think where I give them credit, Vivan, for farsightedness is what they are doing even now. The fact that they did it with deep tech, the fact that they are doing it with AI, that is forward. That is more forward thinking than what we would have seen.
My only limited point was that I think it's great to learn. In fact, we will have an advantage considering the fact that 20 years back, the internet didn't exist and people didn't know how China was thinking. Today, any country, even their inputs, in my view, are well understood by other countries. Like, we can look at the US and China and see what are the inputs they are working on today, or therefore probabilistic output kya hoga. Like, as you said, deep tech ho gaya, AI ho gaya, etc. And we can react faster compared to what maybe they did in 2007. So serendipity, less knowledge. Now, what we do with the knowledge is the alpha that we can create. So I definitely take your point, but I think we just in the, and I don't know why I went in that zone for about 12, 18 months, but increasingly, and you, I give you full credit because you brought me on this, yaar, tu isko compound kar 5 saal dekh kya hoga karke, right? I am now just seeing that every single day that we just have to believe that a 15-year compounding and going back to your 2047 vision for Z47, like, we need to have the confidence ki, yaar, this is our time. And so we will make lesser mistakes and we will have more knowledge because of internet, because of AI.
I think we are very smart. Yeah. No, so that's it. So if I were to summarize, by the way, it takes some amount of overinvestment in some area to define your right to play, right to win. China decided to do it in hard infrastructure, now doing it in AI. The U.S., by the way, why did the U.S. become this rich country, whatever? First of all, lack of immigrants. Hungry people from all over the world reached there. By the way, China realized that their demographic was not as educated. They could become the factory of the world. They skilled people in that kind of a skill set, and they became number one. U.S. has always had the best universities and center of innovation. Always. So best institutions, best innovation, great governance, great democracy, therefore could make their currency the reserve currency of the world, which is a huge advantage because the US is fully debt financed. Right? They could do that, and they essentially became the innovation center of the world. China became the factory of the world. What are we of the world? And Revan, you are saying we are a little bit of all of it. I am saying with AI, there's an opportunity, and I'll tell you what the opportunity is. We have always said that we have the best engineers, but we don't create the best products. Our engineers go there and become world standard. They don't stay in India. We have had IT services companies, and we have had many large outcomes. In AI, I think we can become the AI factory of the world, not soft factory. So one of the, have you heard this three-letter word called forward FDE? So this is called forward deployed engineer. This is coined by Palantir. I don't know if you guys picked up that Palantir has inflected in its growth rate. It went from about low to mid-teens to now 40% plus on the back of AI. A forward deployed engineer is basically a combination of an engineer and a salesperson. So in the earlier enterprise world would be called the pre-sales tech, post-sales tech, but it's an engineer who can also sell. Essentially, all the AI companies deploy this engineer at the customer level so that their software is adopted fast, because value prop is clear. It is about integration. This forward deployed engineer can be in Bangalore, is in Bangalore, by the way, in some of our companies. One of our companies has two in New York and two in Bangalore, right? The one in Bangalore is, by the way, not 1/10 cheaper, only 1/3, 1/4 cheaper, because you need both these skill sets. But that frees up the New York engineer to go actually sit on the customer front where it is required. With AI, all I heard throughout the event, no matter what stage the company is, the constraint to growth is A, backend engineers, B, developer engineers, and C, forward deployed engineers. I think the big investment, we keep talking about skilling. I think this is when Infosys, ECS were scaling up, and India, maybe it is always private entrepreneurs who have to do it. There used to be all these training institutes, NIIT, APTEC, this, that, whatever, that would just churn out diploma engineers. But they would be deployed by others. I think we should be making a massive investment in saying, we have a core edge that China doesn't have. We are English speaking.
Yeah.
Most of development is in English speaking languages, right? We are going to own we'll become the AI engineering capital of the world. That needs a little bit top-down push from the government, but I also think it needs a lot of push from entrepreneurs. I think our asset is being the youngest. If you were to say what is our comparative advantage, we should be making as many. Abhi Swiggy Wiggy ke driver ban rahe. I know my household health son is here. He's learning computer science. But at the end of it, he may end up as a Swiggy driver. That should not be happening.
Yeah.
There should be like institutes coming up, 1,000 institutes. And I think that's where if you say 1,000 institutes, which can in 3 shifts churn out 400-500 people a year, that's still getting a lot, right?
Yeah.
Accenture has, by the way, half. So also this GCC push, I think, was good. The Global Capability Center, but it was all private.
Yeah.
So, for example, should we set up some large info parks that used to be called SEZs before?
Yeah.
And we say, aap pe 10 saal ki aapko tax window ki holiday hai, chaake set up kar. So, to me, so there is no fear about India's growth, but there's greed about India's growth and greed about how we should be positioning. And when I think about the greed aspect, I do think we should be doing more.
But if I take your point, are we on opportunity as well as greed? Let me take that 2x2. And instead of government push, this is a great opportunity for VCs. No? Like instead of serving funding QuickCom, we could be funding EdTech for AI's upskilling could be a great place to maybe back a bunch of entrepreneurs.
But the scale, so if you look at what the government did with EVs, they gave incentives. I think if there is recognition, and by the way, we are going to do our push with the piece to push and speak to the policymakers, because I think it's a matter of time, because they're all very well intentioned and very smart and very long-term thinking. I don't know if you guys have seen point-to-point employment in these large Infosys, TCS and all, point-to-point over 3 years is down.
Yeah. It's going to keep coming down.
So where will the next stage come? So I think boy, push up Infosys ko incentive de do.
Yeah, why are they not investing? But kya incentive chahiye? Abhi 50,000 crore ka profit hai
yaar. Abhi why are they not invested? Company hai, publicly listed company hai. So, you know, they also have to meet their quarterly results. If revenue is getting threatened, they will cut costs. You just say ki boss, here is a new skill set training center. There was some incentive the government launched also, right, for employment generation. This is a great employment generator. It's very exciting if we have to think about, and it goes back to your point also, Revan. If what we have done well is actually compounded on our software strength to build some of these products also, UPI and this and that, how do we take that to scale with this AI thing? But for the world, how do we become the services exporter we already were with IP, but with AI?
Yeah, no, I think what was very interesting is just realizing, going back to what you said, right? People in the Valley believe that if there's potentially 50 trillion of services GDP that will be done by AI and not people, and which is why this entire compute war is playing out. You're right, a large part of it could be done by us, and it doesn't matter if it is the top end or the bottom end, right? What matters is that we have a large population English speaking, and if they can be upskilled to think about leveraging AI in a way that a lot of the world's services could be done effectively by our workforce, I think that's it's a mentality shift, Avi, that, you know, for a TCS or an Infosys to say that, and I actually would have empathized with them if there was not a Eternal and a Policy Bazaar listed who was saying that I am going to go for growth over profitability, and the market still rewarded them. They said, no problem. We understand that the potential opportunity in front of you is massive. We respect that. Please go for it. In fact, look at Google, right? In the end, the stock it's got to 3 trillion because they have now, you know, they've rolled up the sleeves and said, boss, it's okay. We will cannibalize ad search revenue because we want to go AI first. And they're exhibiting the right mindset that the shareholders are saying, great. The fact that you are becoming more future ready, because in the end, I don't know why everybody, while they know this, that the valuation in point today is a discounted cash flow of the next 10 years. And everybody is saying that that number is far more important than the number you have today. Show us that you're able to protect that number. And we still have at least management teams in these companies which are thinking a little old economy, if I can call it, which is conserve cash conservation versus what the market is clearly rewarding is future readiness investment.
No, Spectrum, it's non-incremental, right? I mean, NVIDIA has been around 20 years, maybe 30 years, I don't even know. But its revenue has tripled in the last 2 years, 3 years. Look at Oracle, been around 30 years, and their order book, I don't know if you picked it up.
Yeah.
Their order book for your data center, one of the business was 357% of their current revenue. Like, it's unimaginable. It's unimaginable. What is that?
But you need to
summarize. I think China exported products, US exported services. Can we export talent? Like, we have the largest talent base, youngest talent base, English speaking, without the old world exporting, which was literally body shopping. But in the AI world, can we be the engineering exports of the world now? So
very
that's the great piece that I think that would be very, very interesting. And obviously, we'll do our bit to evangelize. But it's exciting if it can work.
What do we do as old economy businesses in some way, Avi? Like consumer products, I know the Indian consumption economy is still going to be exciting for the next 10, 15 years, considering we are at the inflection point. But I keep asking this question that we will be more AI-enabled compared to before. But is there an AI-first version of a Bombay Shaving Company or a Mosaic Wellness do you see? Like, or are we overthinking this? We should just have high consumer NPS and give great experience to our consumers.
Look, I do think, and I was just evaluating a company they want. It's a company that is using AI videos for to help businesses grow and showing even with the larger businesses like 20-30%. So I do think it will give you guys an opportunity to both grow faster and make more money, because on the demand side, there are lots of AI-led unlocks. On the cost side, there are a lot of unlocks and there's AI. So I think I think you're not taking as AI native. That's just par for course. So you will do it, but usse bhi trajectory change hogi. Usse bhi trajectory change hogi. And if you ask me, see, again, it has to be context. So you have AI, but you also have once in a lifetime distribution disruption going on in India. And you have a once in a lifetime customer segment change going on in India. So I think you guys are sitting on a gold mine. And one of the reasons we are seeing all the consumer businesses inflect is a combination of that. I do think that every company had some, just like every company had to have a mobile app, just like every company had to have a website, I think every company will have an AI native element. What that is, I don't know. But I think the best founders will keep that in mind. It may ultimately end up becoming a wearable. It may ultimately end up becoming an app. Because my own view is OpenAI will become a button. We'll lose our phones. All of it will become a button. Apple will have a button. Samsung will. We'll just move around. Everything will be voice enabled. And if you're not on that button, you will lose one level of distribution. Right? So, but should you be the first on that button? Should you be the first thinking like that and making sure that all this, is there always a skunkworks piece in the org that is thinking like that? 100%. But uski readiness abhi market mein bhi nahi. Because of device in here, if you think about iPhone ke baad App Store took 2 years to come. I'm really of the view that the John Ivey hiring of was not an accident. The fact that he keeps saying, I will never build a phone is not an accident. He never built a phone, except phone will not be required.
Yeah.
You just say, hey, button. Call this person.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll just have your AirPod and you're done. Right? Why do you need every other app will be on that part? So that will become a new distribution. And the more AI native you are, the more you know my persona, and then I think it will really give another leg of growth, which is why I'm a believer that large tech disruptions or large, not just tech, even with the invention of the wheel or the steam engine or industrial revolution or whatever, all of these things will increase world GDP and wealth, and people will consume more. They'll just consume more. I think everybody will get richer and will benefit. I think there are people who will have to reinvent themselves a little bit to stay relevant. But overall, I'm a big believer in what I think Elon Musk, Mark Andreessen, all of them say that this will overall increase the world GDP growth and make people richer. And we'll have more time. But, you know, people, a lot of people like us, if we have more time, what will we do? We'll probably consume something else. So then the GDP goes up even more.
Yeah. I think the way, at least I heard this somewhere, you know, maybe nuance of AI native, that there is this thing called as AI at the edge and then AI at the core. I think all of us should definitely be doing AI at the edge cases. Where, let's say, AI calling, all of these are like, these are use cases which were being done before also. Just that they are now become more efficient. So you can save cost, put that back onto CAC. Meta earns more, we get more customers, etc., etc. But I think the AI at the core ones, wherein these use cases were not possible without AI.
Yeah.
Those are the ones, I think, where real disruptions happen.
Yeah.
Those are far and few. I think you were also hinting at that. Those are far and few. That's happening less. That's what, at least, we have to experiment and keep doing.
Far and few. And I think, I don't know if I told one of you, you know, there's that classic hype curve you go up and you go down. So I am on usage of some of this. I am at that bottom, the disillusionment, because you can actually see that you push it to a level and then it's just wrong. But has it improved my productivity? I have 1.5-2 hours extra a day, which I bloody pump back into here. But aisa nahi hai ki abhi solution hai. Abhi to bahut Delhi dur hai, right? Can you just speak into Make My Trip or any of the travel apps and just say, I want to make this trip, give me an itinerary and go ticket. No, nothing is ready at the back end. Even in your business, Chirag, even bloody Amazon or Shantanu, same thing. Like, where is the... So, there is a lot to come. There's a lot to come. But I do think it's moving faster than I've seen anything else move.
Maybe I think this wave is much bigger. So, we are seeing the early part of the traction and it's getting us excited. But it's going to take time.
Yeah, it's
going to become much larger, as you said, that in terms of, you know, the opportunity size, etc., etc. Us sense mein hame lag bhi raha hai ki bahut sara action ho gaya. But if you actually speak to the end consumer, you're right that while we have seen some of these cute agent modes, but real mein mujhe book karna hota to nahi hota.
Correct. So by the way, I was telling somebody at work, we were having this debate with the EAs, and I said, AI will not take your job. Not being current with AI will take your job. Right? Human in the loop to always chahiye. Are you the human? Are you in the loop?
Yeah.
Are you completely out of the loop? But this is a debate I was having because I brought my daughter to the US. So why should schools say, you must have read that MIT paper. It said that your brain actually activity decreases if you use AI. I have a point of view on that. So basically, some schools they have these AI filters and they're saying you can't use ChatGPT. It's like saying you can't use typing when typing came in, or, you know, you have to still write by pen. What do you guys think?
I think the nuance is, how do you teach the right things? Like, for example, a mobile phone is great for a 14-year-old child to learn, but it's also a gateway to random consumption of media that they should not be doing, that will, let's say, spoil their ability to think for themselves and stuff like that, right? Isme wo nuance nikalna padega ki how do you get usage? Like, I would love to teach my son, who's 9.5, on how to leverage AI right now only. Like prompting samjho, let's say, for example. Like, ask the right questions. Because what do I need to teach? I need to teach language. I need to teach technically maths, because your maths should be good. And agency. Ki boss, every problem is solvable in the world. As long as you understand laws, law break nahi kar rahe ho, problem solve ho sakti hai karke. Wo aapko agency, like, or there is a helper there as well, right? But how do I not give unfiltered access where, in case there is an incorrect usage? Now, I know there are, most of these tools will say that we will not give answers for how to make a bomb. Not that my son is searching for it, but just this is an example, right? Wo wala, I don't have the answer yet. But I would agree that I would give him usage as long as he knows how to leverage it. Like, you should restrict access on where I want him to learn, but wo kaise karte mujhe pata nahi hai.
But abhi, isn't that at macro level happened with every new technology? Jab car aayi, logon ne bola yaar health issue ho jate hain car.
I was hoping by now people would have learned and they would have said this is good.
This is like, you know, when genius failed. Financial markets mein jo hota hai wo consumer memory is very short.
Yeah.
We don't learn all of this.
So, you know, my take on this, and I told my kids, I said, for the dumb work, please use it. But one of the things, like Revat, you want to push your son, my push is be hyper curious, right? This should be a tool for you to actually expand your knowledge set.
Right?
But for stupid things that are available on the internet, which would have taken you 5 Google searches or whatever to get to that, and if you can get it in one shot, why not? Tech support, I mean, just go on ChatGPT. Anytime I have a problem, I just put it in ChatGPT. I find out the answer and I just implement it. Why is it wrong? Why is tinkering and trying to figure that out a good utilization of a human being's time? So, what can human beings do much better than ChatGPT can? They can ask the better, best questions. They can come up with better, own curiosity, things that are not out there on the internet. And I think these tools should be used to take away all the grunt work.